This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Here's Coach Gruden.
Hey, Coach Gruden, you must really love our wings.
I love Hooters. The awesome wings, the great seafood and burgers. I know you can get it to go and it all tastes great sitting at home watching a game, but really? Don't you want the same awesome food brought to your table by some world-famous Hooters girls? Of course you do. I've seen some great games up close and personal, but nothing beats watching the game at Hooters.
You got it, Coach. Hooters, famous for wings, seafood, football coaches, and some pretty awesome Hooters girls.
My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast all season long, and for Hooters sending out two of my favorite local calendar girls here in the Tampa Bay area to my golf tournament this Saturday at West Chase Golf Club, 813-854-2331. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area looking for 18 holes of championship par 72 golf with well-conditioned greens and fairways that were not adversely affected by those frost conditions we had a couple of weeks ago, I think you'll find West Chase Golf Club to your liking. You can visit them online at westchasegc.com. West Chase Golf Club is the home to the 2018 Good versus Evil tournament here on the Todd Wright Tour. We are completely sold out. I thank those of you who listen to the podcast for helping me sell out another golf tournament. We'll have an announcement shortly about the next event a few months down the road. So again, thanks to Hooters and West Chase Golf Club for their support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is coming to the end of the Hooters investment, near the end of the West Chase Golf Club investment. Can't do it without them. Recording this on Monday night, so you will probably pick it up, I'm guessing, on Tuesday morning as we bide our time leading up to the rematch of Super Bowl 39. The Patriots and the Eagles. And I'll save some of the daily breakdown. I've obviously kind of been waiting until later in the week myself to dig in, start putting together some of my DFS options as it relates to the Super Bowl, since it's a little different playing this year as opposed to previous years. You can play six players within just one game, four offensive and two IDPs, individual defensive players, which I normally don't play, but many of you actually do that instead of a team DST in your season-long leagues. So what I just thought I'd do on this edition of the podcast, since basically, the Super Bowl is the end of a football season. And so I thought I'd take this early Super Bowl week podcast and just look back at the fantasy season overall. And sure, we've got the entire off season to talk about things we can do better in fantasy in 2018. There are some of you who are in keeper leagues, and you'll hopefully be interested in what I say about certain players and whether or not they are worth keeping, or you let them become free agents and you utilize the draft pick. I pulled out the draft board in the league I commission, a 10-team non-PPR league. PPR is part of daily fantasy. I can play it just in a league I commission. I don't see any reason to. The main reason why is it's very simple. If a wide receiver catches a pass and gains no yardage, I don't see why he should earn a point. Because if a running back is handed the ball and gains no yardage, he doesn't earn any points. It's as simple as that. I know there are other reasons that were given many, many years ago for balancing out wide receivers with running backs. I just don't think that should apply anymore. And at least in the leagues I commission, I'm not making a big deal out of it. I'm not telling you to change what you do. But in leagues I commission, I don't play PPR simply for that reason. A non-productive play of 0 yards should be 0 points. It is for a quarterback. It is for a running back. And it is for wide receivers and tight ends in a non-PPR league. And there are so many short passes being thrown, whether they are to running backs or basically look at the entire catalog of passes Sam Bradford threw in 2016 or Jay Cutler threw in 2017, and that's what you see. So that's why I don't play PPR leagues. I don't have it part of my league that I commission. So that said, I don't think there was too much difference this year as it related to PPR rankings as opposed to otherwise. But I pulled out our draft board from our 10-person draft. All 10 people in our league do their homework. I think this was a year as much as anything, and there are injuries every year, but wow, there were a lot this year. You know that. And it's probably not a coincidence that chances are pretty good that whoever won the championship in your season-long fantasy league did not have a devastating injury to a big point-producing player, especially a big point-producing player that they spent a high draft pick on. I don't think Deshaun Watson was someone that people drafted with a high draft pick, but he was probably the player picked up on waivers that hurt owners who grabbed him on waivers and then suddenly lost him on this non-contact injury nobody ever saw. I guess the double whammy is if that owner had a high draft pick injury and then had the Deshaun Watson waiver claim injury in setting them back. I know personally that I dealt with, well, I'm looking at some of my picks here, and I dealt with a Greg Olsen injury, and other than that, I didn't. No pick of significance of mine other than Greg Olsen. And when Greg Olsen was hurt, boom, I picked up Zach Ertz on waivers. It probably worked out better for me. So I was not affected. That's why I won our Governor's Cup, which is awarded to the team that scores the most points in the regular season. We patterned that after the President's Cup and the National Hockey League. It sort of carries the same connotation. But it is sort of a way to say to a team, you had the most point-producing team all year, regardless of the head-to-head schedule. I did not win the head-to-head championship in our league. I lost it by, I think, a point, 1.4 points or 1.6 points to a very good friend in the semifinals who then lost on the last play of the championship game. To our eventual winner, and our eventual winner also, other than the Carson Wentz injury late in the season, was not hurt by a devastating injury. As a matter of fact, Wentz was drafted as his second quarterback. He drafted Drew Brees as his first quarterback, so obviously he was not set back in that regard. So I think that was one of the keys this season was, and a lot of it's luck. Now, there are things like there's a website out there called Injury Predictor. I talk about it. I try not to draft players with injury history. I try to talk a lot of you out of drafting players with clear injury history. Jordan Reed will go into next year almost as the new Eddie Lacy, as a player that, if you decide to draft him, be prepared for people to make fun of you if you complain that he can't play and he's not doing anything for you. Granted, with Eddie Lacy, it was for weight reasons. With Reed, it just always seems to be for something on why he's not out there. But you try to stay away from those players. But as it relates to, you know, the Aaron Rodgers injury, as one example, the Dalvin Cook injury, couldn't see that coming. A very productive rookie running back that was probably drafted by some of you as an RB2, who clearly looked to have RB1 upside on him early before the injury, and devalued Latavius Murray until Cook went out, and then Murray actually had another pretty good season, much like he did the previous year in terms of getting in the end zone. He kind of combined once he got that starting job in Minnesota. The best of the two worlds. He had the workmanlike yardage role in 2015 for the Raiders, and then he was just scoring a lot of touchdowns in 2016. Him and LeGarrette Blount were at the top of the board for running back scoring touchdowns. And then in 2017, it was a good year once he got in there and got the bulk of the carries instead of sharing with McKinnon once Dalvin Cook went down. But even looking at the team that beat me in the semifinals and lost in the championship game and really not seeing too much in the way of any devastating injuries on that particular team. And then you have the connection that Jordy Nelson owners were adversely affected by the Aaron Rodgers injury. Certainly Will Fuller owners were adversely affected by the Deshaun Watson injury. These are all things that you just have to take into account. And remember this, don't make the same mistake twice. You're allowed to make a mistake once. Don't make the same mistake twice. It's something about life, and it's basically a mature attitude for putting together a fantasy football team, especially when you're utilizing your draft picks. So just playing off the draft board from my 10-team league, the first 10 picks went David Johnson. There's the significant injury in virtually, 70, 80%, maybe more of leagues. David Johnson was the top player selected and didn't give owners anything this season. That's just a wasted pick. I'm sure, I'm just looking at the guy who drafted number one in our league, and if he had had Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown instead, and what it would have meant for him having 10 more points each week that he could count on that were gone, 10 to 15, that David Johnson was expected to produce. Rest of the first round, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Jordy Nelson was not worth a first round pick because of the Aaron Rodgers injury. I drafted LeSean McCoy at 6, and there were weeks I didn't play him. The body of work was fine, but from week to week, I did mix and match. I had depth to do it. I wasn't disappointed as a McCoy owner. He gave me some big games, but there were some real flop games there. That Thursday nighter against the Jets, when I think the Bills were 5-2 going into that game. And granted, McCoy had what we learned later was a groin injury. There were some games where he did not produce. It wasn't every other week, but I did mix and match with him because I had running back depth. Devontae Freeman went into concussion protocol late in the season, hurting his owners. A.J. Green, ironically, was the first-round draft pick of the champion of our league, and the champion of our league felt the same about him that I did about McCoy. He didn't use him every week. As a matter of fact, down the stretch, he rarely used him at all. I've been down on A.J. Green in previous years. It wasn't a good year for the Cincinnati Bengals. Green still had some good games, but it seemed like they were less frequent than in previous years. Many pinned that on Andy Dalton as someone who doesn't draft A.J. Green. I had the opportunity. That owner wanted to send me A.J. Green for Shady McCoy or Melvin Gordon 5 weeks into the season, and I just didn't do it. And I had running back depth. I just wasn't convinced A.J. Green was a wide receiver I was going to play every week. Mike Evans was affected. He had a game where he was suspended, and then he was without James Winston for a few games. Not sure if Mike Evans was worth that first round pick. Michael Thomas came on late in the season and was a very good player to have down the stretch or in the playoffs, and continues. I would expect next year Michael Thomas certainly will be in the first round conversation. Our second round, Aaron Rodgers actually was picked as the first pick in the second round. I didn't agree with it, and then he goes down hurt, further hampering the owner that finished last in our league. Excuse me. Rodgers was followed by Odell Beckham. There was another significant injury. Alshon Jeffrey, that worked out. In a high-octane passing offense for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jeffrey went. He was an Eagles owner, but he took Jeffrey as a second-round pick. Brandon Cooks went in the second round. I acquired Brandon Cooks at the trade deadline, and then I didn't even really use him in the playoffs. It was one of those where I wasn't convinced of the consistency of Cooks. It is tough in the New England offense, maybe I should have just held on to Diggs. I ended up flipping Diggs for Cooks after acquiring Diggs first at the deadline. But Cook's still a productive player. The numbers actually were pretty good, but there were just some games with, you know, but you get this. You've gotten this with A.J. Green over the years, or even some Julio Jones. Those three catches, like 48-yard games, you're like, what? Why wasn't there more? I took Melvin Gordon in the second round. I like that pick. There was this Austin Eckler scare. Week 6, 7, somewhere in there. But Eckler then had a key fumble in a Jaguars game, and it was pretty much Gordon the rest of the way. There were games where Rivers really fed Gordon a lot on little checkdowns or screens out of the backfield. That game against the Raiders comes to mind, which was won by the Chargers. But you know, Gordon was a good second-round pick. I don't know that I would go there again with Gordon, but I played Gordon actually more than I played McCoy, and paid off for me. DeMarco Murray went in the second round. I think we are now past the point of Murray being looked at as an RB1. Be interesting to see what Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans think going forward of their running back situation for 2018. Leonard Fournette went in the second round in our draft, and that paid off, especially in the first half of the season. Then he battled ankle injuries, and then he had a brain cramp that cost him a suspension where he was late and active somewhere around, November. Jay Ajayi went in the second round. It was two different teams. I think I saw somewhere Jay Ajayi became the first running back in NFL history to rush for over 400 yards in the regular season for two different teams. Probably not worth a second-round pick. There were no 200-yard game explosions this year for Jay Ajayi, and someone we will reevaluate for next year. I don't think we're looking at him as an RB1, but he's in a good situation with the return of Carson Wentz in a clear, productive passing offense, Ajayi with a full training camp, and the right attitude is in a good situation in Philadelphia to be successful, because it's kind of tough for defenses to prepare to stop Jay Ajayi with extra men in the box when you have Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey locked up and Zach Ertz, etc. A healthy offensive line. The Eagles lost a key offensive lineman this season. A Jordan Howard mixed bag. Interestingly, in my league, Jordan Howard was dumped. I mean, outright cut. I don't know, 2-3 weeks into the season, the guy who lost David Johnson immediately picked him up, and it actually helped him out. It helped him fill the void there for a while. You would say, why would that owner cut Jordan Howard that early? Well, sometimes early in the season you do make some rash decisions, and you're just like, you know what, I shouldn't have done this, and there's someone else available on waivers that I want, and I'm just going to make this move right now. He probably should have offered him for trade. Howard wasn't as much of a factor late in the season, but there were some pretty solid games there, and you can't really say that for any other member of the Bears, at least in the first half of the season. It was kind of an every other week thing, something I would call a Brett Saberhagen thing with every other year back when he was pitching for the Kansas City Royals, and I actually cared about baseball. Doug Baldwin in the second round, late second round. Yeah, I think that's about right. And going forward, maybe a little later next year with the gloss off the Seahawks since they did not make the postseason. But we all know Doug Baldwin is the number one receiver in Seattle. And granted, there was, you know, there are times where Jimmy Graham gets a number of targets, but maybe you go through, for example, we talk about Brandon Cooks. And there are just games where you're like, is Brandon Cooks the number one guy or not? And why isn't he getting number one volume? Doug Baldwin is clearly the number one wide receiver for Russell Wilson in Seattle. And if he doesn't get volume, it's because of other factors. It's game flow. It's it could be weather related. It's not like there has been another wide receiver on Seattle that is clearly going to get the targets that you would normally get with Doug Baldwin. I mean, he's just sort of a to me, he's a very safe guy to have in a season-long league. With a stable, very productive quarterback who also extends a lot of plays in Russell Wilson. That's another thing looking ahead to next year. For those of you that do the smart thing and you wait on quarterbacks and you don't jump early for an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees, or get a quarterback who's going to use his legs. It's invaluable. Even more so than I thought in having those quarterbacks who are willing and capable of tucking it under, even just a few times a game. If you get that rushing touchdown, it's that's a full 6 points. That's the equivalent of 60 passing yards. And Cam Newton's value went back up this year because of some of those touchdowns. It helped Josh McCown. You know, with the Jets, Newton had some huge runs, namely in the win against the Minnesota Vikings. When in doubt, a quarterback that can use his legs a little bit, maybe use it as a tiebreaker. If you can't decide between this quarterback who never runs and this quarterback who does use his legs, like a Russell Wilson, like a Cam Newton, looks like Josh McCown is coming back to the Jets next year. We'll see what the draft holds with Bradford and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen out there. But if it's McCown and he actually put up some decent passing numbers as well, you know, I'm not saying McCown is your QB1, but might not be a bad guy to pick up in a late round as a QB2. Gronk went first pick of the third round in our draft. With Gronk, it's just not so much the Patriots spreading it out. You're dealing with every week, is he healthy enough to play, and is he healthy enough to finish games? Dez Bryant, Gronk's injury hurting daily players like myself, who invested very heavily in him in the championship round. But that's part of what you deal with Gronk. Dez Bryant went in the third round. A lot of questions about Dez Bryant going forward, not only for the Dallas Cowboys, but fantasy-wise, on Dez Bryant. I want to believe that Dez Bryant is still worthy of being a wide receiver one, not necessarily a first round draft pick. I don't have enough to go on that Bryant doesn't have it anymore, lost a step, lost his willingness to compete, did enough stupid things where you wouldn't want to own him. You worry about him getting suspended. You worry about his relationship with Dak Prescott. But while there are questions out there, and yes, I am a Cowboys fan, but I still want to believe Dez Bryant is a number one wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not convinced he's a wide receiver one in fantasy, but he could be a nice wide receiver two that could really go off for you next year. If the Cowboys are right and more like their 2016 edition and not dealing with an Ezekiel Elliott suspension. Terrell Pryor went in our third round, and I can't criticize the owner because a lot of people were high on Terrell Pryor. He's actually someone that I wanted to draft. I wouldn't have taken him in the third round, but Terrell Pryor was expected to be a real impact guy for the Washington Redskins after a productive year on a bad team in Cleveland. It did not work. Terrell Pryor looks like he doesn't have a future in Washington. There's already some talk he will go back to Cleveland. which would be weird if Kirk Cousins ends up in Cleveland. I don't know why you put that together again, but Pryor was one of the bad picks, and somebody in every league made it, and you know what? They feel bad about it, but if they hadn't made the pick, someone 1, 2, 3, 4 picks after them would have done the same damn thing. But that was probably the biggest bust, non-injury bust, in fantasy football in 2017, is believing in Terrell Pryor. Marshawn Lynch actually went next in our draft, and he didn't do much really for the first 8 to 10 weeks of the season, and then suddenly he was very high volume. Jack Del Rio, you know, thinking about it, back to his use of Latavius Murray. Jack Del Rio, no longer the coach of the Raiders, seemed to be a coach that liked to limit the workload of his top running back, feeling that they were on a bit of a pitch count, and then he wanted to lean on them later in the season. In the case of Murray and in the case of Lynch, it didn't work. Now, granted, the Raiders were better in 2016, so it worked in terms of wins and losses. The only reason why those Raider teams weren't a factor in the playoffs was because David Carr broke his leg. And he doesn't really look like the same quarterback since, which is odd, but it might be a mental thing as much as anything else. But Del Rio no longer in play. I'm guessing Marshawn Lynch is back. I think he would be excited to play for John Gruden. Granted, John Gruden is more of a passing guy, but Marshawn Lynch strikes me as a player that John Gruden would be excited to have. And John would see the positives in Marshawn Lynch. We'll see. With Lynch, it could change at any moment. Amari Cooper went in the third round. That was also a very disappointing pick because Cooper basically, he had one game all season, one. And it was that 3-touchdown game. Was that also a Thursday night game? I remember the bad uniform, so I believe it was. Thursday night game against Kansas City. That was it. If you drafted Amari Cooper, you did not get third round value. I drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the third round. I felt there was no way he would serve his entire 6-game suspension starting in week one. I was right on that. But then I did have to deal with the suspension later in the season. It didn't hurt me that much, and then I did trade off Ezekiel Elliott to someone who was going to need to win their last place game when Elliott was eligible to play. Would I have liked to have had Elliott in week 16? Honestly, it wouldn't have helped me that much. He didn't get into the end zone. Cowboy fans know there was a key first and goal at the 3, down 2 scores to Seattle. Where the Cowboys did not give Ezekiel Elliott the football for some reason. It was a very bad play-calling sequence for Scott Linehan and or Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott where Elliott didn't get the ball in that situation. But dealing with the Elliott suspension was one of the things we talked about seemingly on every podcast edition, but me drafting him in the third round certainly worked out for me. No regrets. Kareem Hunt. Went in the third round. He was the fantasy MVP the first month of the season, and then he got it together again late in the season for owners of Kareem Hunt. The problem was that, kind of like, hate to make another baseball analogy here, but Kareem Hunt was one of those that for a lot of you, it's kind of like the manager that doesn't know when to take the pitcher out of the game. He leaves him in too long. I have a feeling many of you Kareem Hunt owners left Hunt in too many of those games where he wasn't producing and the Chiefs were losing games. There was no reason for you to play him. You needed to see him break out before you put him back in the lineup, and that might have hurt you. It hurt the owner in our league. He didn't make the playoffs because he didn't make other running back moves. He just kept playing Hunt every week, hoping he would break out, and there were a lot of low numbers in those games. Drew Brees went in the third round. He was the second quarterback taken in our league. Too early, but it ended up working out for this owner because he had Wentz later, and then Wentz went down. He had the depth at quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins went in the third round before we knew there was Deshaun Watson, and then there wasn't Deshaun Watson. Just a target monster is Hopkins. I have a feeling that next year, you know how we went into this year with Mike Evans high and DeAndre Hopkins down? I have a feeling that flips. That we're going to think the way about Hopkins, you know, the way we thought about Mike Evans, and Mike Evans comes down off the bad year for Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. And then Dalvin Cook went in the third round. That was a good pick as the last pick of the third round, but another unfortunate injury for that particular owner. Just some other highlights from my draft. Todd Gurley went in the fourth round. I think we would all agree that was one of the top players in fantasy football. And if you had him in your fantasy playoffs, he got you a long way to winning your playoff games or your championship. By far best pick of the fourth round. For those of you in PPR leagues, Christian McCaffrey, utilize him almost exclusively in a pass-catching role where it doesn't expose him. Is it as simple as them drafting or bringing in via free agency another true running back and still just letting Christian McCaffrey run the same plays that he has been running? But, yeah, it's no secret. He's not an NFL running back. But if you put him on the line of scrimmage, or you try to make him a true wide receiver, or even a true slot receiver, does that expose him a little bit? Does he work best off the line of scrimmage? I'm sure Carolina will figure it out, but it was a productive year for McCaffrey. The problem was that you weren't getting the rushing yards out of it that you expect from a running back. But in PPR leagues, the number of catches help make up for it. Let's see, anything else that stand out about picks? Of course, there were guys on waivers, etc. But I think we've covered enough just kind of looking back over the season about some things that went right, some things that went wrong. And we'll continue to do it throughout the offseason. In the podcast, we'll give you a podcast at least once a week in the off season. So subscribe to my podcast, and then you always know when a new one is available. And I thank you very much for listening to this podcast. We're at about, 18 months we've been doing the podcast, and I enjoy doing them for you. And the feedback that I get from you guys via email is it's very nice. And I hope you continue to be there. So later in the week, we'll do a DFS breakdown on Eagles and Patriots for Super Bowl 52. My thanks to Hooters, the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, find your location at originalhooters.com. And, of course, to West Chase Golf Club, which is hosting my first golf tournament of 2018, Good versus Evil, two tournaments in one, front nine, as easy as we can make it, back nine, as evil as we can make it, coming up this Saturday. You can play West Chase Golf Club any day but this Saturday. If you call 813-854-2331, 813-854-2331, or visit westchasegc.com, you will find the greens at West Chase in as good a condition, especially the greens on 2 and on 7, I have seen in many, many years. And that's why I'm happy to be hosting my next golf tournament at West Chase Golf Club. Jared Atkinson is the assistant GM. I look forward to working with him, and he's down with the flu, but I know he's going to be back for this weekend. Jared, I hope you feel better. All right, so DFS breakdown in Super Bowl 52 later this week in the podcast. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.